case Turner v. Astru, 093019. Ms. Hansen, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. This is a Social Security case, so it's quite a change from what you've been listening to. Although it has a lot of similarities because it has to do with the credibility of the American citizen and of my client. Mr. Turner had a work injury in 1998. He did some work in 1999. He filed a workman's comp suit and was settled in 2002. And then in 2002, he filed this case in December. It was not heard until December of 2005. And the hearing was from the Peoria Office of Disability Adjudications and Review. And normally, it does take 2 years to have a hearing. By the time he had finished with his workman's comp suit, he had lost his insurance, and that's very important to this decision. Now, one of the things, the first thing that an administrative law judge has to do is to see if there is a serious disease process. And this impairment relates to the back, and at different times, different x-rays would show different things. And I believe all the attorneys, even myself, might have missed a very important x-ray. It's in the record at 184. It was done by the state, so it was not done by his doctors. They did not know about it, and often the attorneys don't know about it until they get to the district court or federal level. But it shows minimal anterior listhesis. Well, when I present a case, I always look up what the words mean, and you don't even find it in the dictionary. But when I went to MD consult, it was under spondylolisthesis. And spondylolisthesis appears to be a slippage at L5-S1, and his slippage is at L5-L4. But I believe we would look at it the same way. If you have a slippage in that area, you would have pain down your leg. You would have back pain. You would have difficulty with your gait. The Social Security doctor that reviewed him noticed that he had an abnormal gait, and his last nurse practitioner said he had an abnormal gait. He would also have urinary problems, and that when he testified at the administrative law hearing, he said he woke up every 2 hours to pee, which means he has urinary problems. Now, why this is important is whether he is credible. And basically, I think we believe that he has a very severe case of degenerative disc disease. So the question is, can degenerative disc disease and the conditions he have create disabling pain?
I thought the medical evidence was that it was minor or
you mean
minimal.
The minimal, which...
Weren't those the words that were used by the doctors who read the x-rays and the MRIs? That it was minimal or minor?
Yes, and it's hard to know what those mean, but I think it was in several areas, so it was up and down his back. And for...
it was located at L5-S1. Wasn't that the diagnosis, that he had minimal degenerative disc disease at L5-S1?
But in 1991, showed that it was at different spots. So he had more than that.
I'm sorry.
He had it at more than one place.
I thought the work injury was 1998.
I'm
Did
sorry.
Did you say 1991?
I can't hear you.
Did, The work injury was in 1998.
Yes.
Did you just say in 1991 he had?
No, I was saying that he had x-rays, I think, from 1999.
Okay. Right. And the x-rays and the MRIs identified only minimal degenerative disc disease at that location of the spine.
That time period.
Right, but it never advanced beyond
minimal.
Well,
partly because he didn't keep
adjective.
Having MRIs and x-rays. And you'll see in the record that he did afterward, and they were presented to the appeals council, but they were not presented to this administrative law judge.
Right, but there isn't any x-ray or MRI that puts his disc disease at anything more than minimal or minor, right?
But that was back, because it was back in 1999.
Well, is there anything later than that?
Yes. After the administrative law judge hearing, and actually I have records from today. So, I mean, but it was progressive, but it was after the administrative law judge's decision.
Well, we're limited.
We are concerned with the administrative law judge's
right,
decision.
Right, and there isn't anything in the record as of that time
right.
that shows
and he,
anything more than minimal or minor disc disease.
Well, correct, but they were early. And there is in the record on July 3rd, 2003, record 184, the spurring and the listhesis of L5 on L4.
But that also is described as minimal or minor, right?
Yes, but when you look at spinal listhesis and they say minimal, you should have none.
But then later that month, July 28th, 03, Dr. Belinsky concluded he was that it was dull pain, recorded the dull pain complaints, and concluded he was capable of light work activity, could sit for 6 hours in an 8-hour workday and lift 10 to 20 pounds.
Dr. Belinsky is a pediatrician who sits in an office and never sees the people. She has the records that come in. If a record is submitted after the date, she never sees it. She basically is looking at what Kahn said, and Dr. Kahn describes a person with multiple back problems. And the ALJ makes fun of Dr. Kahn by saying, obviously the client knew that he wanted to be disabled, so he goes in there and he acts disabled. Well, Dr. Kahn is a doctor who on weekly, probably daily basis, looks at Social Security clients. He made observations, and the administrative law judge did not accept the observations, feeling that my client would have influenced Dr. Kahn. My client does not have the money to influence a doctor, so if he influenced him anyway, it was just through his personality, charm, or whatever happened that day. But Dr. Kahn was obviously impressed by the fact that my client had a very bad back and reported all of the symptoms that one would have if one had a bad back. The ALJ and the credibility findings goes to the workman's comp lawyer, which was prior to 2003, to try to discredit the doctors that were used for the current case. Anyway, when you're looking at a back or an MRI or an X-ray, the Judge Gilday really did not have a way of interpreting it. He should depend on the doctors then who described the symptoms. And he said, I'm not going to listen to the Dr. Kahn for whatever reasons. And then Rotowski was one of the best doctors in our area, and he left because we lost a lot of neurosurgeons in Illinois about that time. So then my client ends up at a clinic with a nurse practitioner.
Now, you can keep going, but you're into your rebuttal time. You're into your rebuttal time. You can keep going,
okay.
But I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Well, with the nurse practitioner, the judge refused to give even credence to observations. Now, like all of us here could say a person has abnormal gait. He doesn't even pay any attention to what she does because he feels that she was not aligned with Dr. Pozanski. What I want you to think about this is he's accusing the nurse practitioner and Dr. Pozanski of misfeasance in office because they have to work together. If they don't, then she loses her license. And I don't think that we should have administrative law judges doing that based on hunches versus some specific reason. And in that case, judges have the power to submit interrogatories and to send cases to other doctors of their own doctors or to ask for further inquiry. And that's one area that I think should have had another inquiry.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Mr. Goldstein.
May I please court? I want to address briefly the attempt to link listhesis on page 184, the minimal listhesis, the spinal listhesis, that was not part of litigation up to this point and in the briefs. And I don't know what listhesis is. I don't know what spinal listhesis is exactly. I believe it's very close to as it was described, but I know there are different words, and I know there are different conditions, and to try to link the two, and suggest that one listhesis is the same as spinal listhesis, I believe there's no basis for that linkage. Also, Dr. Walensky, a medical doctor, did review that X-ray of minimal listhesis and still found that that Mr. Turner could perform light work. The ALJ found an extremely limited range work, less than all that the doctors found. That the ALJ found less than light work, which is what four doctors and a functional capacity evaluator found that Mr. Turner could perform. The ALJ found sedentary work and also granted a sit-stand option. So the ALJ granted a great degree of credibility to Mr. Turner's allegations and to his complaints, but it was still he could still perform a significant number of jobs, so under the Act, he was still disabled.
Can you address Nurse Duffield and Dr. Kahn? Because doesn't it seem as if the ALJ maybe went out of his way to find problems with their conclusions when you look at the decision?
Sure. Nurse Duffield, first, the ALJ has to explain under SSR 06-03P, has to explain the weight given to the nurse's opinion, and the ALJ did explain the weight he gave to Nurse Duffield's opinion. Mr. Kahn went into Ms. Duffield, Mr. Turner went into Nurse Duffield and said he needed a spinal fusion. So she was under the impression that he needed this surgery. But the evidence of record was that his doctors kept telling him, you don't need surgery. Surgery is contraindicated. So she started with this impression. Her notes are only on two pages of the records, and her notes don't contain objective findings to support her conclusions. And the ALJ describes all of this in his decision. Although Nurse Duffield finds atrophy of one half, states that there's 1.5 inches of atrophy, Dr. Kahn, who judges requested us to address, said there was no atrophy. So you got the doctor saying no atrophy, whereas the nurse says there was atrophy. The nurse said also that Vicodin could cause drowsiness, and the ALJ pointed out that that Vicodin there's no evidence in the record that Vicodin could cause drowsiness. To the contrary, one of Mr. Turner's treating physicians stated that he was going to only provide Vicodin until quote until all legal issues are resolved close quote. So there was that was on page 160. So there's this impression that that the Vicodin is not being prescribed strictly for medical need. So the ALJ did explain. He didn't. I don't think that the ALJ went out of his way to discount Nurse Kahn, Nurse Duffield. She is not an accepted medical source under the SSR on Social Security ruling 06-03P. The ALJ must address her opinion. The ALJ did address her opinion, and the ALJ reasonably rejected it. As to Dr. Kahn, the other opinion of record, the ALJ, over several pages of his decision, addresses Dr. Kahn's findings. One thing that Dr. Kahn didn't know, Dr. Kahn's a one-time examiner, and Dr. Kahn didn't know what Mr. Turner's treating physicians said about him. Dr. Gashkoff and Dr. Rutkowski said that he was not fully compliant, that this case may involve psychological issues, on page 164. Dr. Ross, another examiner, who's actually examined twice, unlike Dr. Kahn, who only examined once, Dr. Kahn echoed the functional capacity evaluator's opinion that there was symptom magnification. And Dr. Kahn, who only examined one time, did not have any of this information when he performed his evaluation. So it ends up that you have Dr. Kahn, one examiner, who says he can only lift 5 pounds, compared with Dr. Ross, who says he can lift up to 25 pounds. Dr. Ross is supported by three reviewing physicians, Drs. Bram, Burris, and Belinsky, and Dr. Ross is also supported by the functional capacity evaluator. And Dr. Ross, on the other hand, is only supported by the nurse practitioner. So I think the ALJ reasonably, based on all of these factors, and also the ALJ mentions, as was discussed earlier, the MRI, the magnetic resonance imaging, which is much more a more diagnostic test than the x-ray showing the listhesis on page 184. The MRI, Dr. Gashkoff, said that the MRI was unremarkable. And it showed, as Judge Sykes was saying, only mild or minimal findings. The other thing is his activities. The ALJ and the other considered these activities as well, activities that perhaps Dr. Ross and Nurse Dr. Kahn and Nurse Duffield were not aware. Activities included mowing the lawn, doing yard work, going fishing, going to his sportsman's club. While limited, granted, but the ALJ acknowledges they were limited. He used qualifiers like he had some activities or his activities he did slowly and he needed to rest. But that's not necessarily, those types of activities aren't necessarily inconsistent with, and in fact we would suggest support the ALJ's finding for sedentary work with a sit-stand option. So I think that hopefully this addresses Your Honor's question about Dr. Kahn and Nurse Duffield. I think it encapsulates the entire record as well, and unless there's any further questions, we'll ask the court to affirm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goldstein. Ms. Hansen, how much? 1 minute.
When you look at what Dr. Kahn had in front of him, he is Exhibit 7F, so he had 1 through 6F with him that he had to look at, which is some of the documents they mentioned. Many of the things that he cited have to do with the workman's comp case. In fact, everything that he cited went back to 2000, 2001, and as you know, workman's comp lawyers they're just different. Anyway, and I don't know where I came up with the nurse needing the saying there was no need for surgery. Anyway, what is missing in the residual functional capacity, and that's the most essential thing for you to look at, his need to stand and lay down, his problem with sitting, and the ignoring of pain and the effect on concentration and the effect of his medications. And even though whether a doctor or someone says that these medications have an effect on you, they'd be foolish to say they don't, because this is a known effect that these drugs are to alter your mental status. And then the other important thing is how often he would miss work. If a person misses, in some cases, VEs will say 1 day. I think in this VE said it would be 1.5 to 2 days. And in our case, our client would miss a lot of work.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hansen.
Can I say one more thing?
Very briefly.
In Streeter, Illinois, it's a whole different community. When you do activities of daily living, it's not like Chicago.
All right. Thank you. We thank you, counsel, for your arguments and your briefs. We'll take the case under advisement. Call the